Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Got a lot of rain over the next few days. Gross driving in. Seems pretty good right now, though. Seems pretty good. Got a Sabres game tonight. Got some Sabres games moved, and the Bills finally back to work. Or, well, they were back to work on Monday. Today, though, is media day, first injury reports and such. So,
and the practices.
Yeah, we're finally, truly back from the bye week. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Man, yeah, I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about it. The bye week has been painfully long. Painfully long.
It always is when you end up in a two-game slide.
I don't remember the last time the Bills have had the two-game slide going into the bye week. They've had losses, don't get me wrong, going into it. But
it's probably just common sense at that point. Like, a bye week will always seem longer on the heels of any loss, let alone for how they've been playing the month prior to the bye week.
Like, I'm so ready for Sunday's game. In part, though, I'm also a little bit nervous. I won't even lie. A part of me is very nervous with the idea of, look, we talked to a caller yesterday. Bills are 8-0 off the bye under McDermott. This has been kind of the moment where they usually go on runs. They're getting guys back on defense. Depends on how much you feel Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi will mean to the defense. And we'll get to that. You know, I tweeted out yesterday. We never ended up getting to it. So we'll get to that a little bit more today. But, you know, Max Harrison, his 21-day practice window has opened up, so that, you know, probably doesn't mean much for this week.
No.
But going down the road, more reinforcements are coming on the defense. But it's kind of one of those things, too. Like, here, in a worst-case scenario or in a worse situation, Baltimore. Lamar Jackson hasn't practiced the last 2 days. You go to 1-6, why do you care?
Right.
Why would you even keep the season going? For Bills fans, I think many would almost have the same feeling, even though the records would be wildly different, if the Bills did drop to 4-3 with three straight losses. I think many would start to have the feeling of, cool, draft's in April. Who are some of the better prospects we might finally be able to get?
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's the right way to look at it. I'm just going off of what I see on social media and everything. It's a game against Carolina. It's an NFC opponent. But man, does this game feel important. Just for the feeling around the team, for the hopes of the fan base, this feels very important.
It also is just simply to get back on track. Because looking at the other side of that, if you don't get back on track here, you will have lost after the bye week for the first time under Sean McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
You will have lost three straight. You will have not played a clean game of football since the Jets game.
Yeah. And now looking at that win, it's more, that's the Jets, baby.
That's the Jets. And even the Baltimore win, that's not a clean game. You need a bag of pixie dust and Baltimore collapsing like they always do in order to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it looks like, is this team just not good this year? All of a sudden, we're looking at probably the one thing that I would find inexcusable for a Josh Allen-led Bills team, which is, are you going to threaten to miss the playoffs with a healthy Josh Allen? Is that how bad this roster is?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, well, we need some answers.
Yeah, then
and we need
then,
solutions.
Yeah, then there's different conversations. I mean, the trade deadline all of a sudden becomes a must, where I think right now it's sort of simmering around a, look, it'd be cool if they added a Rashid Shaheed or a corner or safety, what have you. But at least for me, and maybe that's for others, I don't totally expect them to do a ton, if anything at all. It was going to be more minor things. Maybe at 4-3 it becomes much more aggressive, especially when you do see Kansas City is starting to come alive. Indianapolis has not faded away. They are, in fact, a very good football team. And if Lamar ultimately does play this week and they go to 2-5 rather than 1-6, they might be live for at least the season rather than 1-6. I do think that means a lot for them. If Lamar doesn't play this week and they lose, go to 1-6, scrap the season. Your defense has a ton of issues. Fire Zach Orr and start over,
right,
and potentially get a high draft pick there. But you made the correct point there in pointing out a healthy Josh Allen if they drop to 4-3. I don't expect that they will. Steve Reed of the AP joined Chilton the Bulldog yesterday, and he almost was laughing at the idea of like Carolina keeping this close and thought he was coming on more to talk about how bad the Bills are going to beat the Panthers.
Yeah, I will respect – I think what the two losses has taught me is, okay, fine. I'm going to respect every opponent here except for the Jets this year. Fine. Like, the Bills have played their way into, I'm not going to just automatically assume wins anymore. Fine. I'm not in the locker room. My opinion shouldn't matter on this sort of thing. However, I'm sick of looking wrong. So, like, maybe that allows me to change my mindset going into a game, which is, no, I no longer expect them to just stomp a team out of the yard, because that's been beaten out of me over the last two games.
It kind of has. I mean, and it's been in different ways. The one problem that continues to persist is the run defense. They are not getting any better in that. That's where I do look at a guy like a Michael Hoyt coming back. And again, I've mentioned this a lot. I know it's pro football, and the grades, especially this year, have really gone, you know, it's become a bit of a hot-button topic. But in terms of run defense, he is graded out very highly in that top 10 in his position in many run defense categories. He's a versatile defender. He is not he's going to be a starter. He's going to start the rest of these games. He didn't really for the Rams. He did 1 year with them where he started 17 of 17. But last year he started five games. He's more of a versatile kind of do-it-all defender for them. But he may finally offer some versatility to a Bills defense that is sort of begging for it. I would love to see Greg Rousseau pushed inside more. With his frame, what he was doing at Miami in college, they've never been able to do that. They could finally have Hoyt, Bosa as your edge rushers, primary edge rushers, of course, with Bosa and Landon Jackson and Javon Solomon, what have you, but as your primary edge rushers, I think they could do wonders for them. You're seeing already with Deion Walker and Ed Oliver, early signs for them, what they could look like together. I think he's going to mean a lot. I heard yesterday Mitch Morris on One Bills Live not even talk about Hoyt immediately, but kind of the after effect guy, and the one that I think many of us do forget about, Larry Ogunjobi.
Right.
Who he called straight up one of the most underrated
defensive
tackles in football, and a guy he hated playing against. I've said it a lot. They don't need to revolutionize their run defense. They don't need to go from 32nd overall in total run defense to top 15. They don't really need to do what the Ravens did last year with their defense, where they went from one of the worst units to a top five unit. I don't think that's fair to ask.
It's not even realistic to ask, mm-hmm. because then in order to finish the season with that kind of ranking, it has to become otherworldly.
Yeah.
And based on what I've seen, that's not happening. Can I get competence, at least? Play well enough to where you have, even if you get yourself to, say, 20th in the league in run
defense.
Right,
and that's kind of where I put it. Give me 20th.
That's playing great football down the stretch for a run defense. Why? You're taking what you have put as the bottom of the barrel very clearly in run defense through six games, and you're building it back up. That's by playing well. That means you're no longer hemorrhaging yards on the ground. Because that is what they currently are doing. They're hemorrhaging yards. It's not even close anymore. The reason they have a decent pass rating is because of the fact that they don't really...
It kind of just feels like a team is making a decision of what they actually want to kill you with, and run defense is easier.
Yeah.
Running the ball is easier.
I have one less problem when I have to throw the football in the air, and that's that maybe the defense gets their hands on it. Then again, the Bills' secondary hasn't been good at that either this year.
This is where you hope the reinforcements help. You're getting your first wave with Hoyt and Ogunjobi. This is where you also maybe hope Max Harrison.
But also...
And I don't want to ever really forget about him because we don't actually know the extent of the injury. Dorian Strong, who really was starting to make waves, and it felt like right as he picked up that neck injury, was maybe going to be supplanting Tre'Davious White as cornerback too.
Yes, I do think that there's something to it. I will also say, yeah, I think more than ever, you need the team back on the field right now. Because remember how it was a bad taste in your mouth after you lose the New England game and everything like that? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how, like, yeah, let's get to Monday night. Let's get to Monday night. Then Monday night happened.
Then Monday night was worse.
And Monday night was worse. And no, you don't get a chance to see them back on the field after this. This has been festering for 2 weeks. I don't want to sound like I'm not learning my lesson here, but I'm also very much not learning my lesson here.
There you go.
Lack of personal growth. There we go, kids. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They still should win and get themselves back on track here. Mostly because I don't want to deal with the demon that comes out of my soul if they do lose this game. Because I'm the person over here saying, no, I'm still towing that line of like, sky is not falling because you lost two football games.
Right, be patient, long season.
Long season, mm-hmm. We can't crash out before December. We all have to make it together, okay?
It'll get real hard if they're 4-3 and they've lost three straight.
Hide on the other side of the coin if the Bills lose this game. I don't want to deal with him. Let's just take that one and... Don't ever replicate this in your real lives. Just bury it down, okay?
I think what's hard about this, too, is we're not even really discussing. Like, we're just saying win-loss. They've also hit a point, though, of how they've won. I mean, we mentioned it. They've played, like, one complete, honest, good football game. The Jets.
And that has more to do with the Jets.
And their owners straight up calling out the quarterback at the fall meetings. It's incredible.
Again. A different quarterback, but again.
But it is one of those situations. What if they win this game 20-17?
At this point, I do not care.
I know. Right. You're there and I'm partially there. But knowing that the Chiefs would come next, it's one of those, great, they're 5-2. Can't wait to be 5-3 because they don't look good. They just beat a Carolina team who's punching above their weight class, right? They are 4-3.
Right.
But you mentioned it yesterday. They've got a negative point differential. You have genuine debates on if their starting quarterback or now their backup quarterback, Andy Dalton, is actually the better option. They're not in a great place. Their best place right now is that Rico Dowdle and Thad McMillan are awesome. Like, that's the best thing about them, and that's great. But that's why I was saying I think this game is so important, even though it's an NFC team, even though it's Carolina, even though it's Week 8. The feelings around the team, around the fan base, do feel like they're on a knife's edge. It does feel like it is staring over a cliff of, well, years. I think a lot of this comes from years of impatience, and you're just right there, and you fall flat again against the same team, ultimately, for many of these. And so that ultimately, if in the offseason where it felt like, man, no one's close to them in the AFC East. Other teams are getting worse. We made it back to an AFC championship game. And the year that was supposed to be the quote-unquote, you know, soft retool, rebuild, what have you, maybe turns out to be a mirage. Look at all the extensions they've given out. So far, through 7 weeks, it hasn't looked great. Many of their, what were supposed to be the next key core, don't look awesome and don't look like they were worth the contracts. And that's where it is just a week 8 game, but it's more the years have buried on top of this coffin.
It's that anxiety that we, mm-hmm. that I remember a caller from several games ago of, because they've never gotten it done, the anxiety will still sit there. The anxiety is always going to preside over. It is going to be one of those things where, okay, are they ever going to get it done? Because anxiety is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be let out. That's always going to be there for Bills fans. Always. Until they actually do the dang thing, it's always going to be there. And that's always going to be understandable. I'm just still of the mindset of, we have a long season. We have to do all of this together. We do need our energy for the later part of the year. And I'm only saying this in the reference of a win.
Yes.
Because another loss kind of tells me something different about this squad. A squad that very rarely puts games of more than two in a row when it comes to losing streaks. Because that's what we're on the precipice of. I think they'll be fine. They do have the unbeaten record coming out of a bye week. A Carolina team that's probably punching above their weight class. At quarterback, it's either a possibly banged up Bryce Young or it's Andrew Dalton in our year 2025. There's too many pieces there that if you lose this game on the road, now we have to start talking about problems.
And quote unquote on the road, quote unquote.
Yeah, even more so. On the road is kind of a facsimile at this point. But if that happens and you lose, we now have to talk about problems. I don't want to talk about problems yet with the Bills. I'm not there. Mostly because I still don't think I want to deal with that. Personally.
Right. I can understand that.
Because that will be tiresome. And again, we have a whole year. That said, I'm still willing to look at the shiny side of the coin.
Yeah.
The one where, okay, stabilize.
They're still 4-2.
Stabilize, get to 5-2, and I don't care what people say at that point of, oh, yeah, can't wait to go to 5-3. No. You're talking about the one team that routinely slaps around Kansas City in the regular season.
Yeah, seemingly without, no matter where the season is at, that does seem
the
to
Bills,
be the thing they do.
A couple years ago had their season go to hell in a handbasket, and what did they do? They beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Like, they needed that win, too. Otherwise, they would have not been a playoff team that year.
Mm-hmm.
So, not concerned, so to say. Again, not learning my lessons.
It's all good.
That's me. I understand that. I
just
know
own
my
it.
Weaknesses.
Yeah, you're fine. Just own it.
And if I get humbled again, that's perfectly fine. But that said, This is typically what they do. And I don't know if that means that's a toxic trait or not. But this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They have a couple games in October, and then they stabilize. They get back on track. Then they become the team that they're always supposed to be. All right. Excellent. And I guess I'm comfortable there because I'm used to it. I don't know if that means it's a good thing, but it's comfortable.
But it is
comfortable.
It's
reliable. It's familiar. I could talk about familiar. I want to talk about familiar. Why? Because that means that the Bills are a good team again.
And they're a Super Bowl contender that really, once it's familiar, it becomes just get past the Chiefs.
Just get past the Chiefs and then get me to January.
And then get me to
January.
And
then let's see what happens again. We're going to have to find out together. That's where the pain might be, but also, shiny side of the coin, might not be.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Your feelings for Bills Carolina, the thoughts of Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi coming back this week. We'll probably hear from those players later on today as the Bills get back to practice. We're heard from Sal Capaccio in just about a half hour at 11. But let's get to the phones before we take our first time out. Tim is with us first up this morning. Tim, how are we doing today?
Good morning, guys. Thanks, as always, for having me on. I really appreciate you. I'm actually going to the game this weekend. Very excited Very about nice. It. I've been down in this area for like 2 years, and obviously they come here once every eight, so you have to do it. Anyways, I think that this is a get-right game for the Bills. I'm not really worried about the Carolina Panthers whatsoever. I think you guys are putting it perfectly. They've been punching again more than their weight class. And Bills off the bye. I really liked what I saw in the second half from the defensive side of the ball in the Falcons game. I think that they kind of figured some things out. Plus the reinforcements. I don't know. I just think that this is a get-right game for the Bills. I think they win by two, maybe even, 17 points.
There we go.
So I just wanted to say really quick, do you guys think that, and I'm kind of going off of Hard Knocks here and I apologize, but Babich being on the sideline during camp, just firing the guys up. I mean, he's a young guy. Do you think there's anything to maybe bringing him down out of the box? You see guys like Steve Spagnuolo, Brian Daboll did it early with Josh where he came out of the box, come down to get in his head. Talk to him about some things after plays and whatnot. Do you see any value in him maybe coming out to get people fired up and making adjustments on the fly and being there in real time rather than kind of relying on like some spotters and stuff like that? Or am I looking too far into that? That's my question for you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. I think it does depend on the coach.
I think it depends on the coach, but also at the same time, I don't know how much difference it's going to make if Babich is the one trying to tell them you got to tackle better, you got to finish these tackles, or if somebody else is doing it.
Also, McDermott is obviously a defensive guy.
Yeah, McDermott is on the sideline too. He can do a little bit of that. For me, it's just execution right now with these defensive players. Even backups, you need to execute, because if the Atlanta Falcons taught me anything, it's that, yes, you can beat them with backups on your defense because you're injury riddled.
It is really a shame that they ultimately lose that game, because the second half performance by the defense was something
good
to praise.
As a matter of fact, I would bet, Tim, I would even lean credence to your idea there that maybe Babich gets into the locker room and he does light a fire under them. Maybe that did happen. I don't know. I'm not a fly on the wall. I would love to be in that moment, especially because they almost gave up another touchdown to make it 28-7. So I will actually lend credit toward that idea. Would it help, though, in the moments of a game? I don't know. If Babich still sees an advantage to being up high, I would say try to keep it going. If it's clearly not working, well, then there's another part to it.
Then you change it up.
It's not working, as we know. But we are also looking at the most recent game where the defense wasn't what I'd call the problem of the day. You don't win many games by scoring 14 points.
803-0550, the number two call. John, Marvin, we'll get to you guys when we come back. Sal Capaccio at 11 and Paul Hamilton at 11:30 with the changes to the later week games with the World Series going on. If you have not seen, Friday, Sabres and Leafs at 7, and then on Saturday, Sabres, Leafs on at 5. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Good. Being part of the team again, feeling like I'm real, with my guys again, putting the pads on again, like just stuff like that, stuff I'm all grateful for. And I'm just excited to keep, continue to practice and then do whatever the team needs me to do on game day. I was able to really look from a different perspective, look from a different point of view and learn the game from off the field and still taking mental reps while also expanding my knowledge on the playbook and just thinking what I see, seeing how our guys react to the opposing team and vice versa. And
Bills rookie corner Maxwell Hairston, we have not heard or seen from the first round pick since he sprained his LCL all the way back in the early days of training camp. I like hearing him say that though, Derek, because not everyone is the same player. There have absolutely been, mainly at the quarterback position, but there have absolutely been instances where a player gets hurt and comes back better because the game got to slow down for them. Everything got to slow down. They got to take a breath.
Yep.
And it's mainly for rookies. I think we've all talked about it to death at this point, but we all kind of know the draft process into your rookie season is basically hell. It is very mundane. It is very performative. And you do a lot of crap to hopefully get drafted a few spots higher than you initially were graded to start the whole process.
Right.
You hope to impress a few more teams who already weren't in on you kind of deal. Hairston just went through this. And Josh Allen is someone that has mentioned that when he got hurt against Houston his rookie year and sat out, what, 3-4 games, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
He came back a better player. He felt better. And he did look better. Maybe that's true of Hairston. You know, last year we went through this. Hairston misses more camp than Cole Bishop does. And Bishop is never really able to establish himself as one of the starting safeties.
Yes. It
literally takes until this year. We shouldn't say, and I shouldn't say, that Hairston is doomed to repeat that exact same thing just because he missed a ton of camp.
No two players are the same.
Maybe for him it really was. Everything got to slow down. He had to take mental reps like he was mentioning there. He's obviously been still taking part in like film breakdown and all that stuff. And maybe he is able to come in week 9, week 10, what have you, and immediately make an impact. It should not be put that he just won't, that it's just going to be a redshirt year. And I've fallen into that. I know many of us have because of the feeling of, are we sure? Look how much time he's missed.
They also are taking their time with him, which they could not afford with Bishop last year. Do remember, he has to start week 5.
Right.
And it does not go well.
Coincidentally, also against Houston. And it does not go well. You're right.
It's like
one of the first big plays the Bills give up in like 4 years. And it's, of course, him on the field. And you're like, oh, no.
Yep. And that's the thing. But before we go further, I want to remind everyone to enter at WGR550.com for your chance to win a free home heating system courtesy of T-Mark Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Whether your home needs a furnace, boiler, or ductless heat pump, T-Mark's got you covered. Last day to enter is in 4 days, October 26th of 2025. Continue with the defense.
So Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, they're coming back. Those two we know definitively will be back this week. We don't know how much they will actually be playing, though. I mean, I know people won't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Love this. This is something the Bills have been known to do. They slow play it. You mentioned patience with Hairston and that they were able to take their time.
Yes.
we'll see what they're able to do with Hoyt and Ogunjobi. Do they just immediately, okay, rock stars, go. Like, we need you. Get in there. It's time to fly.
Hoyt and Ogunjobi will be different.
Or is it a little bit more of a slow roll in? I think also especially you're playing Carolina. You may not have to force them completely in. I will say, though, with that run game, I think you do need to.
I think there's also a difference between coming back from suspension and coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine these guys were given homework away from the team.
Right.
Right? That's something I'm pretty sure you're allowed to do. Hey, your coach probably just texts you something saying, hey, study up on this film. Okay? All right. Thanks. Keep up with your workouts. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you can, go completely no contact with these players when they're suspended. They're still a part of your roster. They are still a part of your team. They just can't join you in practice. So you give them homework. And as somebody in high school who absolutely despised the concept of homework, I'd imagine if I was getting paid to do it, I would have taken it more seriously.
Yeah, yeah, getting paid does change a lot of things.
That makes me more willing to do homework. But everything about this, with Hoyt and Ogunjobi, it's not injury. It is suspension. They keep themselves going. They keep themselves working out. They keep themselves fresh. And they're probably studying their film, studying their playbook, making sure they're getting their mental reps as best they can away from the practice facility. They're healthy. Get them in.
Yep.
Like, no breaks. Get them in there. I do like the patience that they're running with Harrison because they don't want a Bishop situation where it takes them an entire year. And even when there's massive questions about the player in the preseason, this is a different opportunity. We're going to take our time. We think Trey White's going to be able to hold the fort. He hasn't. We think that Dorian Strong's a good enough rookie that he can at least help supplement the roster. Until he can't.
Yeah, the biggest hit for that secondary actually might be that Strong picks up the neck injury. Again, yes. We don't actually know how bad that is either. Maybe we'll get more notes
but
on that today.
But we don't play with neck injuries. Don't mess around with that. I think that these three players can make decent impacts upon their return. The suspended players, I have no doubts about right now. Hoyt looked like he should not have been playing with the backups in preseason.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. The last time you saw Michael Hoyt play football was, he's bullying these kids.
He's bullying these backups, and it's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's a starter playing with non-starters, and it looks the part. It looks the part easily.
Yeah.
Ogunjobi didn't make as many flashy plays, but he was probably able to do the same thing in terms of plugging up the middle, making sure that the run fills are able to get there if they do get there. Now, that said, ultimately, what do two defensive linemen and one cornerback do for me for my run defense when it comes to the additions right now? I don't know.
Hoyt, I am excited about
Hoyt
that.
Hoyt setting the edge and the outside runs may be a good thing. The inside, a position that I thought would be a strength this year, has turned out in the run game to be one of their bigger weaknesses. That's the linebackers. The threat of the second level and getting past it has been routine. I always say, if safeties are in your top three of tackles, things are going wrong.
We have a problem.
Number two and number three are Bishop and Rapp.
Houston, we have a problem.
I don't like it.
Nope. But there's not much they can do there unless they make a trade. Not much they can do right now at those positions. Maybe it is maybe playing more Shaq Thompson at linebacker. He looked very good against Atlanta and really kind of helped stabilize that unit in the second half. But for more on Hoyt and Ogunjobi, let's get connected to our fans. It is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Bennett tweets in, yes, it actually should help getting Hoyt and Ogunjobi back. Fingers crossed, this is like a few years back when I believe the Titans had a horrendous first half defense with a lot of injuries and then a very good defense at the end of the year when guys did return. This is like getting two of your best starters back from injury. I say definitely one. I don't really know what they feel about Ogunjobi. Again, the general manager, Brandon Bean, was open about it. If they knew about the suspension before they signed him, they would not have signed him. Hoyt is not the same thing. But there's a good chance both would have been starters or at least heavily rotated players. To be perfectly honest, if Ogunjobi wasn't going to be suspended, I wonder how much we were seeing Deion Walker and TJ Sanders.
I think
Walker, eventually works his way in.
I think it's still the same because they get injuries and it's Zion Logue, Fidarian Mathis, and Jordan Phillips that we have to see. If it's Ogunjobi not being suspended or a player that is not suspended, no matter who it is, we still see the rookies because it's facilitated as a necessity. Because injuries do force their hand, we do probably get to the same answer on Deion Walker regardless.
I was going to say, Deion Walker, I think, no matter what, his talent was popping.
His talent was starting to show.
You saw in the preseason, too. The team couldn't stop talking about him. Players couldn't stop talking about him.
Right. I do think that that probably gets to the same ending anyway. However, for me, it is still about the second level. If the linebackers cannot make tackles, if the safeties are not making tackles, they are missing a lot of them. The Bills lead the league in missed tackles. I don't know if they still did, but like upon their last game, after 6 weeks, they led the league in missed tackles. And at that point, I can only point at coaching so much if you're not wrapping up, if you're not making the plays that you're putting yourself even in position to make. In order to miss a tackle, you have to be there to try to tackle, right?
I mean, yeah.
Steve, sometimes it is poor angles that cause a missed tackle. It just is one of these things where it's a talent issue.
Yeah, I've been there a lot with this defense. I was a lot there in the offseason, but that's where it is for me. I mean, you're seeing guys that are just late to the play. They're taking the poor angles. They're not able to make up for it. And that is a talent issue. I'm not saying Bobby Babbage is completely infallible, right? Look, there have been times, namely, weirdly enough, the first half of Atlanta, where fix the matchup problem with Drake London. Fix that. Rather than just letting him carve you up and be wide open. That is a scheme issue. No doubt about that.
Yes.
But there's also been the talent. The coaches cannot make the tackles. And
if you clean up even a little bit of that.
A little bit. You're probably in a much better situation. Not saying perfect, but a much better situation. Johnny Boy tweets in, regardless of statistics, I think it'll be interesting to see what just those two alone are going to bring. If the intention was that they're going to be a certain facets of the plan they had, then I'm looking forward to seeing what they can get out of them. We'll talk with Sal in about 15 minutes. Sal has been big on this point, especially with Hoyt, is that they probably had plans for him. He is a very versatile defender. They gave him a 3-year deal. They probably do see this as, yeah, we're going to deal with the first few weeks because we're going to get you back and you're going to be important to what we want to do. And that's maybe the most important thing to remember with all of this is that the defense we've been watching the first 6-7 weeks has not at all been what the Bills wanted to be, whether due to injuries or suspensions. Now they're starting to get some of those players back, and they do get some good early signs that maybe they weren't expecting. Deion Walker being a 4th-round pick and being a legitimate problem for offenses to deal with.
And
there also have been some negatives, of course.
Have been some negatives.
Benford not being as good. Bernard not being as good as last year. Rousseau not being a factor as much.
And even leaving out the extension guys, Taron Johnson's not his usual self.
Taron Johnson has not been his usual self. It is not all hunky-dory once they get these guys back. I'm not saying it is. But, again, we've mentioned it too. I don't need them to be a top-5 unit. I just need them to not be hemorrhaging yards in the run game or leaving Drake London and the likes of him wide open.
Right.
For an entire half to the point where we should just pack this up if it weren't for him stepping out of bounds to end the half.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter about the second half performance. It's 28-7.
Yeah, at that point, it's too far gone.
And it's too far gone. 803-0550, the number two call. Before we hit our next timeout, though, ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their 3 locations. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Get ready to freeze for a reason. Buffalo Polar Plunge is back December 4th through the 6th with four plunges over 3 days, including the all-new Corporate Plunge, Cool School events, and the main event Saturday at 2 p.m. It is the biggest polar plunge in New York. You can join the fun and support a great cause. Visit nsyo.org. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll be talking to Sal coming up in just about a little under 10 minutes here at the top of the hour. We're also going to talk to Paul Hamilton. Sabres are in action tonight at home against Detroit, a 7:30 puck drop. Some nice lineup changes, though, to get you ready for tonight.
A little bit of fascination here. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're seeing Colton Ellis is in the starter's net.
Yeah.
They're giving Alex Lyon a break, finally, which is perfectly fine by me. He's faced the most shots in the NHL. Just give him a little break.
How much do you think it played into they're not getting the 24-hour rest between back-to-backs? Where now it might be, okay, yeah, Lyon, I didn't expect him to go the back-to-back, but maybe not to force Ellis into what could potentially be a bad situation.
I also think 7 games in a row could be a lot.
Could be a lot, absolutely.
It could be a lot. I was of the like that until he starts playing poorly.
Ride it out.
Ride it out, which would have been today. Because you don't expect, because I had the plan of let Ellis play at home on Friday, mm-hmm, and then let Lyon back on the road on Saturday. It does look like now, because you're not playing Lyon on a back-to-back in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, so Lyon will get Friday, Ellis gets Saturday.
And this turns into Colton Ellis, you've been a good soldier,
yeah,
especially for getting claimed like you did. And if we have to put you back on waivers because UPL is on his conditioning assignment, and we're going to bring him back here, if we have to put you on waivers, we're giving you 2 games worth of tape and not one, because if you get, unfortunately, lit up like the Ottawa goalie, then no team may want you or something like that. And then, oh, it's Devin Levi's net in Rochester.
Yeah, right. Like, that's, and that was the thing about Levi, too, where that's Levi's their AHL guy, not Ellis. Ellis,
yes,
is more of a pickup thanks
and
to
you'd think
UPL being
you'd
hurt.
Think St. Louis will probably want their guy back if there's a chance to get him on waivers.
I think they were a little surprised he got claimed,
yes,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So this turns into thanks for being the good soldier. We'll get you a couple games worth of tape so that you can have that out there for, mm-hmm. for this. And also, I guess it might even be if we have to carry three goalies.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, I know.
And we don't want to subject you to waivers. You're now an asset that has played two games for us.
Yep. And if they go well, we're happy.
You might also be someone that we can move.
Yep. Noah Ausland also appears to be in the lineup tonight, centering a line with Zucker and Quinn. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton at the 11:30 segment. But coming up after the next timeout, Zach Capaccio will join the show. Bill's back to work today. We'll get our first injury reports as well, so do stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550. Let's go
Buffalo. The Bills make me wanna shout. Hour number two rolls along here on a Wednesday. Bills are back from the bye. They'll be practicing in a little bit. We'll hear from the coaches with some players as well. That music, of course, does signal Sal Capaccio joins the show next. But before we get to Sal, do want to let you know to enter at WGR550.com for a chance to win a free home heating system courtesy of T-Mark Plumbing Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Whether your home needs a furnace, boiler, a ductless heat pump, T-Mark has got you covered. The last day to enter is October 26th, of course, 2025. Now, to the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How was your bye week?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Got to watch some college football last weekend when the Bills were off, went Saturday to Syracuse for the Syracuse Pitt game. Didn't go Syracuse's way, but it was nice to get back on campus, homecoming, and take the fam up there and enjoy that, and then watch some football on Sunday. Had some other things going on as well. So now it's back to the grind, back to work, and now it's routine pretty much from here on out to the end of the season, guys. And you know, hopefully that goes into February, obviously, for Bills fans. But from now on, it's really only Sunday games for the Bills, except for one Thursday night game the week before Thanksgiving at Houston. Otherwise, it's pretty much Sunday, and a lot of 1 o'clocks now mixed in with 4:25s as well, kind of half, I guess.
Yeah, Sal, you know, we all talk about the schedule a lot, but now that it's behind us, I was almost in some ways not prepared for how front-loaded their primetime schedule was. And so when the bye did hit, I was like, I don't love the early bye, but man, I think we all kind of needed it. Did the team maybe as well?
I think so, too, from a health standpoint more than anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's something to be said, I think, too, for what you just said, which is, Zach, like when you have all these primetime games and all these alterations of your schedule, and all of a sudden you can kind of step back and reset, and then, okay, going forward, it's pretty much routine every week, except that 1 week, like I said, but it's Sunday games, and we know what Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday look like leading up every week, and you can kind of get on a schedule. I don't know. I just think, I know in most of my life, for sure, like when I'm a little bit more on a schedule and routine and I know what to expect, just makes things a little bit more efficient. And I think that, you know, football coaches and players are creatures of habit a lot of times in this regard, so that can help as well. But I think more than anything, it's from a health standpoint, right? The Bills had a game in Atlanta 2 weeks ago, didn't go their way, but they were without Dalton Kincaid. They were without Matt Milano. They were without Curtis Samuel. They lose Josh Palmer during the game. They lose Daquan Jones right before the game. They have Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop both banged up during the game. I mean, these are guys that, you know, are going to be monitored this week to see where they are, but now you have 2 weeks, hopefully, from that game to the next game to get some guys back.
Sal, when it comes to the injuries, you mentioned Dalton Kincaid on there. Yes, I feel like I've had fun talking with you about this. Kincaid, health dependent on this. If he's a full participant in practice, then I guess we can go full bore on this idea. But I've liked talking to you about how Kincaid's production with the balance between how many snaps he's getting. I am curious, based on how the Bills struggled without him in Atlanta, if he's healthy, how much do you think the Bills could push that envelope of like giving him a couple more snaps because of how effective he is and trying to play a little bit more of a balancing act with probably their best receiving threat this season?
I think we've talked about this before, guys. I mean, like, it's great. If you want to put Dalton Kincaid on the field a lot, that's great. But, you know, he's efficient what he does. But I would argue that partly why he's so efficient is because you're not overworking him. You're not putting him on the field. You know, he's had some injuries as well. The more he's on the field, the more snaps he's going to take. It's not like every time he's on the field, you're throwing him the ball down the field and he's catching it, right? He's got to block. He's got to do a lot of things. So,
right.
Sure, I mean, you could look at that. Well, what worked for the Bills early in the season? A lot of 13 personnel. Jackson Hawes and, you know, Dalton and Dawson Knox on the field as well. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I think every game is going to be different, though, to be honest with you. Like, it might require more snaps from Dalton Kincaid this game and less snaps the next game. So I think every game is just different. It's personnel usage. The more that he can be involved in the passing game, the better. I don't think that necessarily has to be an uptick in snap counts for that to happen. I think you have to have a good balance there, like you said. But every game is going to be different. Every game plan is going to be different.
Bills at Carolina this Sunday, 1 p.m. As Sal's mentioned, it's a lot more 1 p.m. and 4:25 games the rest of the way. Sal, the big note and something we've all been looking forward to, or at least had, you know, marked down on our calendars for this game, was the suspended guys are coming back. Larry Ogunjobi, Michael Hoyt. I know we've talked a lot about Hoyt. Mitch Morris, I heard yesterday on One Bills Live, gave a lot of praise to Larry Ogunjobi. But how much do you think it's going to mean for this defense to get those two back, especially – well, no, I would not say the defense was great against Atlanta. They were much improved and wounded in that second half against the Falcons.
I think it's going to help tremendously to get these guys back. They are guys the Bills targeted in free agency for a specific reason. It wasn't like they just signed them to the back end of the roster. I mean, the Bills really only brought in, free agent-wise, one defensive tackle, and that was Larry Ogunjobi. They drafted a couple, and then they only really signed one defensive out, too, I should say, Joey Bosa, but Michael Hoyt, a guy that they think they can move around. He's not just a pure defensive end. He's a guy that can move around, play on the ball, play off the ball, play inside, play outside. Because he was suspended, Javon Solomon kind of took a little bit of that role, right, where he was kicking inside sometimes. And what I think is going to happen here is this is a player, Michael Hoyt, that can get on the field right away that can allow them to have more options. This is about options for the Buffalo Bills when it comes to Hoyt. Hoyt can play different spots on the field. They can have matchups and say, okay, on third and long, we're going to use him as a pass rusher. On a second down and five, he's going to play off the ball and be used more of a, you know, run player, maybe a Sam linebacker. Maybe we don't have to play as much nickel. Now, look, the Bills aren't playing as much nickel as they normally do, playing more three linebacker sets, but he can become more of your third linebacker now. He can play that role if you want. If you remember when Lorenzo Alexander, you know, came to the Bills and they just really moved him across the board and he had that tremendous year, I think that's the kind of the vision. But Lorenzo told me when I talked to him about Michael Hoyt being signed, he said it took the Bills a year to kind of figure that out with him, whereas in here it looks like they have a plan for him. They know what they want to do with Michael Hoyt. So I think he's going to help tremendously from that aspect. Now, the production's still got to be there. We don't know. As far as Ogunjobi's concerned, it's just unfortunate Daquan Jones got hurt because we don't know his status. We'll hear from Sean McDermott here just before noon, guys. If Daquan Jones is out any length of time and he's going to miss this game, obviously, that really helps to have a guy that you could just bring in and fill in. It's a veteran, Larry Ogunjobi, but he hasn't played in a while. If Daquan Jones is healthy, it's another guy you add to the rotation with, you know, Ed Oliver and with Deion Walker. Now, suddenly, that defensive line looks a little, maybe a lot better than what you had over the last six, this first six games.
Right, absolutely. I do want to say this on Hoyt, because I've seen some people on social media kind of want to push back on what Hoyt can be. And again, we have no idea. But I've really liked what I've seen from his PFF grades. He seems to be an incredible run defender, which is absolutely something the Bills need. But it's more the starts, right? He didn't start a ton with the Rams, albeit minus one season, a 23 start every game. He does have a high snap share, though, the last two seasons. 85% of the snaps in 23. And then even in the season where he only started five games in 24, he was still on the field 57% of their snaps. So, I mean, I think, Sal, that points to he may not be a starter, but they're going to use him a ton in a bunch of different ways. And I think that's maybe where I am most excited. You bring up the Lorenzo Alexander mold. And yeah, like now that you've already kind of been there and done that, you now know what to do. And I think it also points to as well how the Bills feel about him. Yes, they do sign Larry Ogunjobi, but I believe Brandon Bean mentioned that if they had known about the suspension, they maybe wouldn't have signed him. The same is not true for Hoyt. They signed him to a longer deal and seemed to have a plan for him right away. And he played very well in the preseason. He was a huge bright spot.
I really liked what I saw in the preseason in the camp of Hoyt. And you're right, he did say that about Ogunjobi, but they found out late in the process after they had agreed to a deal before they signed him, but there was really no other option, so they signed him anyway. When it came to Hoyt, they knew about it. They knew about the suspension. They still signed him and said, we have a plan for him, and we're going to use him here in Buffalo. And what was interesting is when we heard from Brandon Bean, I think it was Bean who said this, might have been McDermott, I think it was Bean who said this, after he had signed, they said, it's a guy they had looked at for a couple of years, actually, that they really liked him. So that's kind of like when you're thinking about the vision of how you want to build your roster, the type of player you want, that's the kind of player that they've felt for a couple of years that could fill in. Now, look, I think that when you say pushback on social media, that's probably because, yeah, no one here, and I don't think you guys, and I'm not saying like, oh my God, Michael Hoy, player of the year, he's coming in, this is the savior, and he's Micah Parsons. That's not the case. So if anybody thinks he's just going to come in and suddenly have be a double-digit sack guy the rest of the year, and oh my God, defensive player of the year, that's not what anybody's saying. What I'm saying, though, is I do think that he helps this defense be more of what it wants to be. It's going to be more multiple. It's going to give more options. But they still have to go out there, and they still have to produce, and they have to have the right plan for him.
Sal, as we are all moving on at our own pace to It's Carolina Week, of course, they do get back to practice. What about the Panthers? This is a team that has won a couple games now in a row. They are a team that I do seem to think is punching above their weight class a little bit, but they're sitting here at a winning record after years of, quite frankly, disastrous seasons. It does look like they're starting to get a little bit on the up and up.
Yeah, for sure. And looks like it's going to be Andy Dalton, actually, against the Bills, not Bryce Young, although it's not confirmed by the Panthers. You know, the initial report from Adam Schefter was that it would be Andy Dalton this week and a couple others, but the Panthers kind of kept that close to the vest. We'll see. Look, I think the Bills, to me, Andy Dalton's a tougher challenge than Bryce Young, and I say that with all due respect to Bryce Young and what he's starting to do, because he's a young quarterback who's coming around. He's looked a lot better. But this is a guy still that's very young. He's inexperienced. Andy Dalton's seen everything. He's seen this Bills defense. He's seen anything that you want to throw to him. He's been in this league a long time. And when he can sit in the pocket and he can throw to some really talented receivers, albeit a young receiving group, he can throw to them and, you know, he can find some soft spots like Michael Penix did. You know, Michael Penix is a young quarterback who sat in the pocket. He was able to find Drake London and bam, 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 they were able to move the ball. And, oh, by the way, how about Rico Dowdle, right? Rico Dowdle is a really fantastic running back. They have a really nice 1-2 punch right there. So it's going to be, with Hubbard, it's going to be a very big challenge for the Bills to stop them from that side of the ball and not have – now, you know what Andy Dalton is, but you don't have a lot of film on him except for last year he did play some games with the Panthers offense. So it's a bit of a change here. Now, the one thing is he's not as mobile as Bryce Young, and mobile quarterbacks have hurt the Bills. But Andy can move around the pocket a little bit, and he'll try to manipulate that a little bit. I think on the other side, though, this is all about, to me, the Bills need to score points on the offensive side. It's been a few weeks now here where they have not been able to move the ball down the field and score points. New England and Atlanta, after scoring over 30, 31 points a game, basically, the first four games, the last two haven't gone that way. The Bills need to get back to that. They need to get back to scoring, keeping their foot on the gas, going down the field, scoring points on offense. And then even if your defense has a couple of slip-ups, then you're still covered up because the offense is scoring points on the other end.
Sal, when you look at the offense, is this one of just those, I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about, the lull that the Bills are in? You know, it's a long season. Teams are going to lose games. I know Shelton Bulldog have mentioned, too, like even if the Bills got the one seed, what, they're going to win or they're going to lose three or four games. Like, this is somewhat expected. But it does have a lot of the same flavor to last season where it's in, you know, the early to middle part of the season. It's two straight games. The offense looks, you know, arguably at times very broken. It's kind of the same this year. You even have different flavors, but it's kind of the same thing. Khalil Shakir goes down last year. The offense against Houston looks abysmal. Dalton Kincaid goes down, before the Atlanta game. The offense looks abysmal. You know, is this just kind of a lull thing, or is there maybe a bigger problem here for the Bills?
Well, I guess we'll see, right? We don't really know the answer to that question. I will say this, going back to your question about the bye come at the right time. I think that what the bye has done as well during this bye week, what all teams do is they self-scout, right? Mm-hmm. They go and they say, what have we done right? What have we done wrong? What are teams doing against us? And one thing the Bills are going to notice, and I'm sure they already know this, teams are now coming with five-man loaded fronts, and they're coming right at Josh Allen. They're saying, we are daring you to get it to one of these receivers to beat us quickly off the line, to win on the outside. And that's going to be a challenge for the Bills. But I think one of the things they could do is figure out up front how to stop that, to give more answers to Josh Allen, to give more answers to the running backs, the tight ends, even the receivers. So I think that this game is going to be a game where we can look at any clues we have of how the Bills want to combat what teams will do. And the Bills probably sit back and go, okay, the bye week coming at this time allows us to kind of recalibrate how we want to do that. But otherwise, teams are just going to keep doing it. And they're going to do it this week. Mm-hmm. The Panthers are going to do it and say, okay, what answers do you have when we do this to you? Because Atlanta did it and New England did it, and you didn't have a lot of answers in those games. So we're going to do the same thing. It's up to the Bills now to have answers, and they've had 2 weeks now to try and come up with them.
I wonder then, Sal, if it's something where we do see a jump up in James Cook's production in the passing game. One target over the last two games, and especially against Atlanta, where, I mean, they send the hounds after Allen. You would have assumed eventually there's just going to be an outlet pass to Cook. It never really came. There were some wheel routes, and those looked open. Allen maybe should have taken a shot. But with how quickly the line was kind of collapsing against that defensive front from Atlanta, you did maybe expect it. And now I'm really looking for that against Carolina, I think.
Yeah, and Ty Johnson, right? I mean, Ty Johnson is – his production's way down as a receiver. He was so good last year at that particular aspect of his game, and he's on the field a lot on third down. Why? Because he's a good pass blocker, and you can leak him out. So I think the Bills have to kind of adjust that a little bit. I would have loved to see more throws to the running backs. And look, that's on Josh, too. Like I went back and watched the All-22 after the Atlanta game, and I thought there were plays where Josh probably could have hit an outlet and kind of bailed maybe a little bit too early and got his eyes to the wrong spot and maybe started to say I need to take off and tuck the ball a little bit here. And I think all of that has to start meshing together a little bit better. And you have 2 weeks here to take a look at it, and now you go down to Carolina and put it to practice.
And so now, I mean, when we look at the team as a whole, too, I mean, now going back to the injury, Sal, like this is going to be a big thing as well. Palmer, they finally got him going down the field as well. I mean, I think you mentioned it even on the broadcast as well, that they maybe had a big game plan for Palmer. You saw it early with the deep ball. He is somebody I think a lot of Bills fans were somewhat leery about. You love the separation statistics, although that's kind of become a little bit muddied going into this season. You kind of love the idea of Bean really banged the drum for Palmer. He's also somebody I'm looking to for the rest of the season. I hope it's against Carolina on Sunday, but I think he's going to have to be somebody that maybe becomes that man beater. Because so far with Keon Coleman, that has not developed.
Agreed. And, it's not as much Keon Coleman's game to get down the field. We know that. You'd like to see a little bit more of that. They can manufacture some ways to do that. But it is Josh Palmer's game a little bit more. Beating guys, not necessarily 50 yards downfield, but more in the intermediate range. And then they go with that big pass play down the middle on the first play of the game against Atlanta. And then they have another pass, and then that's the one that he gets, his ankle rolls up underneath him. He had two catches for 60 yards in the first half. I mean, he's on the way to a big game. He's on the way to a game where they were going to target him. They were going to use him as a bigger play guy, and that obviously didn't materialize. So you'd love to see him back in the fold here. So we'll see how they counteract that. And, yes, that is another player we'll be hearing from Sean McDermott at 11:55. They'll give us the injury update, and then we'll watch practice today. I'm guessing probably Fieldhouse with the rain coming on here, but the team will be practicing. And then, of course, guys, the big storyline today is Max Harrison is going to be on the practice field as well. The Bills have opened his 21-day practice window, which means they have 21 days to put him on the active roster, or he stays on injury reserve the rest of the year. They can do it any time. I mean, they feel that he's ready. I think it would be a little ambitious to think this way, but you never know. If they feel that he could play this week, they could activate him, and he could play Sunday at Carolina, or it could be next week against Kansas City, or the following week against Miami. That would really be the only three games before they finally ultimately say, okay, that's it. He needs to come on be put on the active roster. That's the window right there, and we'll see where that goes. They do have one open roster spot, though, on the 53-man roster. I wonder if that's for Jordan Poyer, if they would do that, because the other guy that I'm thinking about here is Gabe Davis. He is on practice squad injured, and if they ever want to open his window, they're going to have to probably move Poyer off the practice squad because they can only have a certain number of veterans on the practice squad, and that would be too many. So I just wonder how the roster gymnastics work with all this.
I did want to ask you about Max Harrison because I think, for me at least, me and Derek have been talking, and I've kind of coined it, the reinforcements are here, the cavalry's arrived with Hoyt and Ogunjobi, with Harrison a little bit more on the horizon, right? I mean, yes, they did open up the 21-day window. I would be a little surprised, though, say, I don't know if you would, too, if they were to activate him for this week. It just seems like they have been being very patient with him and taking their time. I heard Matt Beauvais' clip, we heard Matt Beauvais' clip earlier during the show with Harrison talking about, he's been able to slow down and take mental reps. So I'd be a little surprised if his window's open and all right, get in there.
I would, too. I mean, I think it'd be, the word I'm using is ambitious. That would be really, the Bills aren't known for that, right? They're not known for putting guys on the field before they're ready. You have to have the player's long-term health in mind as well. If you put Max Harrison on the field before he's ready, something else happens. Now you lose him again for a certain number of weeks or whatever. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how much he does today. And, of course, I'll have video for everybody over at Sal Sports on X, and they can check that out in WGR550.com. And we'll hear from Harrison today, I'm guessing, after practice. But we'll see Harrison, we'll see Hoyt, we'll see Ogunjobi. It's kind of like a it's a new regular season basically here to hear from these guys and see them for the first time.
Sal, when it comes to, like, obviously the Bills had their bye week and everything like that, but of course the division didn't stop. New England continues to take in wins. I mean, Drake May looked really good against Tennessee, and I'll take that for what it will be because I'm still a hater of the Titans for no good reason. But it does look like their schedule stiffens up a little bit here with the Browns defense, Falcons, Buccaneers in consecutive weeks there. But then there's Miami and the Jets. I don't know why Miami has not gotten rid of McDaniel at this point. They just need to find a way to start over, and it's just looking worse and worse by the week. And yet they're not even close to the worst team in the division because the Jets can't score points.
Yeah, New England? Yeah, New England.
Yeah, New England's got a tougher test coming up these next 3 weeks, though.
Yeah, so New England playing Cleveland, obviously, I want to see what they can do against the Browns defense because Browns defense has been very, very good this year. And look what they did against the Miami Dolphins. Look, the division is pretty bad outside of Buffalo and New England. We know that, as you just pointed out. I mean, one win between the Dolphins and the Jets. You know, we'll see. It looks like a quarterback change coming in New York. Is there a coach change coming in Miami? Maybe at some point. Maybe it's before they play the Bills coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Right.
But look, until New England stubs their toe, I'm not going to believe they're going to stub their toe because they've just played good enough football on both sides of the ball, really good football. The quarterback's looking really good to not believe that's going to happen. So we'll see. They got a couple of tough tests coming up here, and then, you know, we'll see. There's a long season. And the Bills still play New England, right? I
mean, exactly. Yeah, one more with them.
They'll still get a shot at the New England Patriots later in the year.
Sal, did you see Woody Johnson's comments about Justin Fields and Aaron Glenn yesterday at the fall owners meetings?
I kind of did. I know he wasn't very complimentary of the quarterback play, but he was very complimentary of the coach, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. I just do you remember the Athletic story from last year talking about how Woody Johnson's, I think, son or grandson is like helping him with Madden?
Yeah.
And I'm just saying
that,
when he said rating, there is, it's not zero. I don't know how high the percentage is that he is talking about Justin Fields' Madden rating.
That is amazing.
I feel like there is a shot there. He could be talking about passer rating or QB rating, and that probably is more justifiable. But I heard that and went, he's talking about his Madden rating, guys. And it is in the 70s. So maybe there is something to it. It's just,
That's funny.
Sal, I really thought Aaron Glenn and even the Jets weren't that far off. They have looked stunningly bad and at many times completely unprepared for NFL games.
Yeah, and it looks like Tyrod Taylor going in there. But the Jets are going to have a high pick this year, and they're going to have their choice of some quarterbacks coming out. I know you said yesterday when I was listening to you show up in the Bulldogs, Zach, not a great QB class, but wasn't that thought to be a really good QB class recently? And now all of a sudden it's not? I don't know what it
is. That's the thing, is all the hyped up names, Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller, Arch Manning if you want them, all of them failed. Lenore Sellers, all of them have somewhat failed. There's been different guys that have come up, Ty Simpson from Alabama, and then of the guy I really like, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I don't know. I don't know, you know, the buzz that he's getting necessarily right now. We'll see, but I agree with you. I like him a lot. Playing for a real winning program, and a lot of it's, you know, based on a lot of what he's doing offensively as well. Here's your job for me, though, Zach. Right? I have a task for you, okay? I need you to find the next Syracuse transfer. Where are they going to
get there
a guy?
We go.
That's what they do now, right?
They go to the portal for the quarterback.
Right, so you got to find me the guy that they're going to target and say that's the guy that's not going to play next year, but he's going to go. He's going to get an opportunity, and Syracuse will give him some NIL money, and that's just like Angeli this year, like Kyle McCord, even Ricky Collins, who's really not the answer, but what they did with him. So that's your task. I need to know who that's going to be.
Look, Syracuse is going to have some options. They're going to have nice receivers coming in. I mean, freshmen, but we've seen how freshman receivers have been doing. And let's not – I think Angeli still has one more year of eligibility.
I think so, too. I was thinking about that. I think so. I just don't know what he'll be coming off the Achilles.
Right.
But yes, that's right.
Could be fun, though. Sal, you want this, and then at 2 in the morning I'm sending you highlights of, like, a UConn quarterback. So
I'm going to hate saying this, but
be prepared.
Ryan Brown's looked pretty decent for Purdue.
Yeah. Could be going to the Big Ten maybe for somebody. We'll see.
Hey, you never know. They'll get their quarterback from the portal somehow. But, again, it could be Angeli again, but it'll be somebody who can't get on the field for his school, like McCord, like Angeli, and then he'll go to Syracuse. But that's your job. That's your task from now till the end of college football season. You got to identify me, that guy.
I got you, buddy. All right, Sal, enjoy practice. We'll talk again tomorrow, man.
All right, guys, thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. I'm telling you, he wants this now. And then on a random Thursday, or better yet, Tuesday, when there's like a MAC quarterback blowing up, I'll be like, Sal, baby, look at him. That's your guy right there. You got to get hold of Fran Brown. That's your guy. He's not going to enjoy that. He's not going to do that. Right. Or it could be Trey Owens from Texas. Texas backup. Got Dia Bell coming in next year. This is going to be no room. Could be Trey Owens.
Maybe. Yeah. It could be one of those things. Finding that transfer quarterback, though, is going to be fun. Like, I look forward to you actually sending him these highlights because I know you.
Problem is you're going to have to compete with Indiana. They are genuinely doing that, and Kirk Cignitti is incredible at his job. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll switch over to hockey as Paul Hamilton's going to join the show next. But before we go to our next timeout,
don't forget that this month, October, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It only takes 30 minutes once a year to get potentially life-saving screening. Schedule a mammogram today at Roswell Park with two convenient locations in Buffalo and Williamsville. Visit roswellpark.org/mammography for a quick appointment. When we come back, we'll get back to the ice. Paul Hamilton joining us here on the other side in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point.
Shots are 16-8 Montreal. It's just 1-0. Benson for Cooley to the net with the backhand. Yes. Scores! Yuri Cooley goes to the net, and the Sabres have tied the game here in the second period at one apiece.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Yuri Kulik centering a line of Benson and Thompson, it appears, today in practice, although that's
kind of where they've been at the last couple games.
Sabres are at home tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. It is a stupid 7:30 start. 6:30 pregame.
What's so wrong with
that half hour? Radically changes how everything operates behind the scenes, and I hate it immensely. People will never understand the joy I felt when the schedule changed, and they're like, Friday, 7 o'clock start, boom, beautiful,
stupid 7:30. I don't know how that broke me, but you got me.
We'll hear from Paul Hamilton here in just a few minutes. Lindy Ruff still speaking with the media. The big news for tonight: it appears Colton Ellis is going to get his first NHL start. As Sabres take on one of the best teams in the Atlantic to start this year. 5-2, the Yzer plan seems to finally be working for the Red Wings. Good for them. It's taken forever. It's them in Montreal that have looked like genuine threats in the Atlantic so far to start this year. And, of course, I do include the Sabres, who, yeah, had some really nice games. But it's been another slow start. Not the worst thing in the world, but it's been another slow start. And they're still waiting for some guys to get healthy as well, including Jordan Greenway and Michael Kesselring. But there is some bright spots to this Sabres team. I will say I'm excited for Colton Ellis. I'm very nervous. Alex Lyon has been exceptional for them, and I know he needs rest. I'm just a little nervous for a guy to get his first NHL start. When we talked about it yesterday, they can't afford to go on these lengthy losing streaks.
They cannot get back to losing 3 or 4 again. You are right about that. However, I'm more confident in this team right now because of the fact of that they are playing well. There is a context here. If you play like you do against Montreal, who is second in the Atlantic, 5-2 on the year,
mm-hmm.
You play like that, though, you're going to win games, even right. Against a good team.
Right.
Even against teams that are successful. By the way, you win tonight, you suddenly vault yourself into fifth place in the Atlantic.
Yeah, it's all clustered together.
And then also, the team that's right ahead of you, you have a back-to-back against in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So there's suddenly a chance for them to move up the standings very quickly this week simply based on who they're playing. Just keep playing the way you have. I'm not mad about that loss in Montreal, nor should anyone be. I feel very good about it because of the fact that the context does matter. This team has looked better since Zach Benson's been back in the lineup. Alex Lyon has been fantastic for them. And again, Colton Ellis getting the start here, it might simply be, thanks for being a good soldier, let's mm-hmm. get you some games. Because we might be having a three-goalie rotation here.
Yeah.
Or we might be putting you on waivers. I don't know which one's worse. It's probably the three goalies.
It's 100% the three goalies.
For all three of them. But in particular for Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that's the thing. He's not your guy kind of deal.
No.
He's brought in because of the UPL injury. Levi's your AHL guy that you're trying to
marinate in the whole Georgiev thing. Was awful.
Yeah. Let's go now to, though, the Western Hotline. Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
Hey,
doing very well. Doing
up,
very
Paul?
Well. So yeah, we've got
we're
some...
watching the Detroit Red Wings here in front of us.
So we've got some big lineup changes for tonight. Colton Ellis appears to be in the starter's net, and then Noah Osland in the lineup as well.
Yeah, we knew that Ellis was going to get a start. I mean, Lindy Ruff said so when they got him, and he was when you know when they claimed him, they just felt, you know, it was an opportunity they couldn't pass up on. I guess he's been on their radar for a bit. You know, he's been around for a little bit. But, you know, first he was in the East Coast League, then the AHL. His numbers almost mirrored Levi's numbers in the AHL last year. They were very, very similar. And, you know, the Blues just have two good goalies. They didn't have room for him, and they wanted him to be their third goalie. But the Sabres felt it was an opportunity they couldn't pass up on. Lindy Ruff said when he got here that he was going to get in. You know, he was going to get his first NHL game. I didn't know if it would last this long, but this is a good slot for it. And so he's going to get the opportunity to play just like Zach Mezza did. He got his first NHL game against Montreal. Now it's going to be Colton Ellis' turn in this game against the Red Wings.
And it's not an NHL debut, but it's also Noah Osland's turn up in the forward core. Paul Osland in and Gjertsen out of the lineup. I don't think we need to go into the Gjertsen conversation, Paul. I think we both share those feelings. But Osland with Zucker and Quinn, I am excited to see what happens here for Noah Osland, who has been trying to really find that sticking point of when he will end up in the Sabres lineup as a mainstay.
As we were watching the Sabres come out for the morning skate, I mentioned it to one of the media people sitting next to me. I said, you know what? If it were me today, I would have Osland centering Zucker and Quinn. I just think Peyton Krebs has struggled this year a lot more. I mean, where he didn't last year, sure enough, Lindy Ruff did the same thing. That's where he put Noah Osland, and then Peyton Krebs is going to be on left wing with Kozak and Malenstein, who is back after having a child. So he'll be on the wing there. So you will not see Gjertsen in the lineup. As you said, we have talked about that ad nauseum, and that's, you know, but yeah, so I think that's a good spot for Osland. And you know, as a young player last year when he came up, he's quite capable of offense and showed that in the American Hockey League. He's a very good two-way player, but he wanted to concentrate, I think, more on his defense, you know. And you'll hear him on the pregame show, and he said he's quite confident he can pick up points in the National Hockey League. But, you know, that's what it was about. And he's more comfortable this year because he did play those games last year. He said Rasmus Dahlin being here makes him comfortable, too, from Sweden. You know, he's got somebody who, you know, he can speak Swedish with. I mean, Osland's English is fine, but, you know, it'll get better as he goes on. And he's got a guy on the team that he can speak Swedish with and hang with a little bit. So that helps him, too. So it wouldn't shock me if you saw him get on the score sheet in this game. He's a very good two-way player and somebody that I think is going to be a National Hockey League player for years to come once he gets to the NHL for good.
Paul, when it comes to Jiří Kulík, I mean, it was a couple games ago that Lindy Ruff had effectively called him out, you know, demanding better out of Kulík, and he's responded accordingly with Benson and Thompson as the line mates there. He has been putting up a little bit more on the point production over the last couple games. He has a really nice goal in Montreal, a game that really, as a neutral NHL fan, you probably were excited to watch that if you just liked hockey.
Yeah, I mean, that was an even game. That's a 50-50 game that, quite honestly, the Sabres have to find a way to get points in. You know, when you play even with a team, you know, Montreal had their moments in the game. Buffalo had its moments in the game. And the shots, I think, were one away from each other. I think 32-31, if I'm going by memory here. So there were plenty of chances. Both goaltenders played very well. Although Alex Lyon finally had that whoopsie moment where, you know, a goal went in. Third goal, I'm sure, is one he'd want back. And I asked Brian Koziol when we were on, I said, I can't remember another one. I think it's the first one all year that you would have said to yourself, you know, he'd like that one back. But overall, he did make some great saves in the game. I think Dobish probably made better saves as the Sabres were really pressing to get that tying goal. Couldn't get anything by him, had great opportunities. I mean, I looked in the middle of the second period. Tage Thompson had 8 shot attempts by the middle of the second period. He just couldn't solve Dobish. Kind of like last year. Remember, he had a little trouble scoring goals for a bit. Then all of a sudden, a couple went in, and he was on his way. He's been getting assists, you know, he does have a goal and three assists for 4 points in six games. But, you know, a minus six, although when the empty net goals go in, he's on the ice and he's going to get a minus. That's something they got to kind of brush up on a little bit. They give up empty net goals almost every time they pull their goaltender. So that's too many. I know that's going to happen at times, but it doesn't have to happen. And at least against Montreal, they pulled the goaltender, did get some scoring opportunities and did get some pressure before the empty net goal happened. But that's something they got to work on.
Yeah, Paul, I loved the Montreal game. It was fun. It was exciting. The Sabres did not shell away when they went down 3-1. They kept fighting. Obviously, you get the Kulik goal, and there's a fight there. I just – the last – I want to say maybe 3 minutes or so, I was wondering where Josh Doan was. He's been a weapon for them in front of the net. It felt like to end the game, it was kind of just slap shots from close to the blue line and hoping and praying one of them went in. And we talk about this, it seems like yearly, Paul, where they've got to figure out a way, as you've coined it, you know, loser points. Yeah, you lose, but it's in overtime, so you grab one. You don't go on these stretches where you're just not getting anything. And me and Derek talked about it yesterday. That was really their first opportunity of the season to have that done. They did not play well in the first three games. But I think overall, it's been a solid start to the year. Not great, but a solid start to the year for this team.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think about it, right, when they pull the goaltender, you're going to have Thompson, Tuck. You got a dog out there in Benson. I mean, and you would have a dog out there with Doan. You're going to have Zucker, Dahlin, and I'm missing one. McLeod has to be out there for faceoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, Doan would be the guy for McLeod, but you can't lose the draw.
No.
And everybody else is going to lose the draw. He won a couple. You know, give them possession. So that's why he's out there in place of Doan, because you just have to have somebody out there that's going to win you the draw. You can't keep losing the draw and not get yourself set up when you got the goaltender pulled.
No, and that's where, you know, not having Norris now for a number of weeks is going to hurt you. I mean, that's been a huge positive for him is the faceoff percentage. You're not going to have him for a long time here. Paul, though, before we let you go, the big news actually to start the day was what many people were ruminating about last night during Toronto's game, and it is ultimately true. Start times have been changed due to the World Series being in Toronto. Friday moved from 7:30 to 7, and then Saturday, the big change, from 7 now to 5 p.m. in Toronto.
The earlier the better. I'm great with a 5 o'clock start. You know, it gets you home from Toronto earlier and everything. And, Derek?
Yep.
Now we can go to game two.
There we go.
Hit Ticketmaster. Get us a couple of tickets.
I'll
let you treat. I'll buy you dinner at McDonald's, and then you treat for the game.
Right.
Last I looked, it's around 1,800 to sit up in the last row.
All right. I'm looking in my wallet right now, Paul. I've got $32.
So get it done. We can go now. We can get the game too. Get it done. Get those tickets. Again, there's dinner in it for you.
We've got to make, like, maybe we need Pat to help us out here. Like, I'll travel in, like, one of the equipment crates.
throw up the bad signal. Paul, I got to tell you.
You don't want to pay $1,800?
I don't know if I even have it. Brother, we work in radio.
You're going to have to talk to some sketchy people to get a loan or something like that.
But if Paul, you get that done, I'll talk to you on the air anytime you want.
I used to work at banks.
I'll be nice to you even.
That's good. Hey, you know what?
That's big.
Yeah, I'm going to go talk to some former coworkers at some banks now.
Paul, I got to tell you, though, I'm just thrilled. We don't have another 7:30 start time after tonight for a little while. I can't tell you how much I hate seeing those on the schedule.
Yeah, and folks, so they realize this is a TNT game.
Yes.
So it's radio only if you want to hear Rob and Dan. So, yeah, radio only game. I didn't even realize until I got here that it's a TNT game. So that's, of course, why the 7:30 start.
Mm-hmm.
I saw actually the Prime. I know Prime is doing hockey now too, and the Montreal game was a Prime game. So I got to meet some. Well, actually, I knew some of them, Andy Petrillo and others that are going to be involved in the Prime broadcasts for the NHL, and that was on Prime, the Montreal game.
All right, perfect, Paul. Rest up. We'll talk to you at pregame at 6:30. Have a great day.
Okay, take care, guys.
Paul Thanks, Hamilton Paul. There on the Wester Hotline.
He said he was going to treat me nicely.
I mean, just, you know, $1,800.
Yeah, fine. You know.
It's not that much. It's
you know,
not that
there much. Is a price for happiness.
There is a price for happiness. I will tell you, though, I love being in that ballpark. I've been there two of the last 3 years to see the Angels play the Blue yep. Jays. It's a blast every single time. I just can't justify it. I'll watch it on TV, and I'll feel just as happy.
Like I said, I'll talk to someone about getting a loan today.
There we go. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to WGR.
You know, they found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mayer not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that that change would have happened long after our game.
Broncos head coach Sean Payton. You can hear the little pause there before he's like,
do I want to do it?
Do I want to do it? Tyler Dunn tweeted this out yesterday. You can hear the little pause before he's like, I want all-out war. And, you know, look, he takes shots at Russell Wilson. A lot of people have been taking shots at Russell Wilson for years, including former teammates in Seattle.
What does he do that makes him that hated? Like, is he just that?
I think he's disingenuous.
Yeah.
I think people can see through it.
Okay. That's a good way to go about
it. I would imagine that's a big part of it. I know the Legion of Boom, the big thing for him was just he seemed to get off scot-free from Pete Carroll, and the defense wasn't. And they're like, wait a second. And they did not love that. That was only one of two instances where quarterbacks were catching strays yesterday.
And while we have a minute, before we jump to the other one, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills, as I intercepted Zach just now. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity like Justin Fields, the guy that we're going to talk about next. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today.
I want to make a joke about his interceptions, but I don't even think they're that high.
He hasn't had any.
I know. I had to look. I'm like, wait, I don't actually think he's done like that.
That's why I brought him up when I said fumble.
But yeah, it's.
I know what I'm doing.
It's, man. So Woody Johnson, we mentioned it with Sal, goes out to the fall owners meetings and is talking about ratings and basically throwing Justin Fields under the bus to defend Aaron Glenn. I guess it's one way to do it. Glenn, I imagine they see a much bigger future for. The problem was you just gave the guy a two-year, $40 million contract, Justin Fields I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have some belief in him. And to be fair, you did have week one. So
Week one will live on forever for Fields stands, whatever is left of them.
Exactly. And I'm not saying you don't bench him. I'm not. But, man, like everything around the Jets just – it does not seem good. I know Shelton Bulldog just had a bet that the Jets won't make the playoffs by 2030. Like, they're in that bad of circumstances. And I don't disagree. I will say, though, I love Fernando Mendoza. And on that, and this is something I've really changed my tune on with quarterbacks, got a lot of starts and not in particularly great places until this year. He started at Cal for 2 years, or had starts at Cal for 2 years. Now he's in Indiana. He's flourishing. He also kind of is the exact personality you want your quarterback to be. Not saying I'll be freaking out if the Jets land him, but I think he could be somebody that could maybe figure it out for them. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 to 12, but coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.